This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
Obviously, tax reform with incredible ramifications, especially on Long Island. It's part of our final spotlight segment on Long Island. Three of three, the county executive himself, Steve Ballone. And we welcome him. Steve, how are you, sir?
Very good, Jay. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you. I got to tell you, I was telling Congressman Peter King, you know, I got home yesterday afternoon. I thought there was a snag in the whole tax reform situation, a major one. It turned out not to be. Senate passing, House will approve it by noon, it looks like. But all in all, I know you tried hard. You know, there were a few people that were wavering within, the Susan Collins of this world. You know, we thought maybe Marco Rubio would go the other way. Not the case. Tough deal all the way around.
Yeah, this is just an assault on Long Island. There's no other way to describe it. It's an assault on home ownership, which is a bedrock value in our nation, achieving the American dream. And to strike out provisions of the tax code that, you know, support and help places like New York, Long Island, that give a lot more money to Washington than we get in return. To strike out those provisions that, you know, are supportive of our region, so that we could subsidize some cuts elsewhere in the country, I just think is so incredibly wrong. And, you know, it's hard to believe we got to this point. You know, we were raising the alarms as early as last spring, but I think to a lot of people it was inconceivable that Washington could do something like this that will have such a devastating impact on Long Island.
That's a killer. You know, I think Lee Zeldin said it best. It's really just a geographic redistribution of wealth, Steve Ballone, when you think about it, and taking extra money from a place in this state to pay for deeper tax cuts elsewhere. It is an absolute disgrace. And, you know, when you think about Superstorm Sandy from 5 years ago and trying to recoup this money from around the nation and getting bills passed and people whining and crying the fact that, you know, well, why should New York get anything? You know what? We'll get you the money when we get you the money. I mean, this is an absolute slap in the face.
Yeah, it's such a departure from what our nation has been. That was really a wake-up call for me. We had to go down to Washington and, fight over Sandy, fight for dollars. But, by the way, the same thing happened with the Zadroga bill and, you know, support for 9/11 first responders. You know, in the past in our country, it would have been unimaginable to me that, the people in one of the darkest times in our country, the worst terrorist attack on our soil, the people who responded and as a result have suffered and in far too many cases died as a result of their service down on the pile, at Ground Zero. And, you know, you had to fight to convince people in our Congress to support that legislation. And this is just another manifestation of that, where, you know, they are basically not only just redistributing wealth, they're attacking a region that provides about $23 billion more to the nation than we get in return in terms of services. So just everywhere around, this is incomprehensible that this is happening. We've done everything we can to support it. And that, you know, we really pushed hard to raise awareness with the president, who, you know, we've talked about before. Jay is from this region. He was born in Queens. He's a New Yorker. He has to understand how catastrophic this can be for our region. You know, drop direct hit to taxpayers, a massive tax increase for middle class families. Lower consumer spending, lower home values. We're seeing estimates as high as 20%. And what we said is, you know, President Trump, you have the power to stop this particular bill. You know, everyone that I talk to says we should do tax reform. But nobody is saying we should do it this way. And, you know, we've urged President Trump to use his power to stop this. And, you know, it's seeming less and less likely that that's going to happen.
No question. Talking with County Executive and Steve Ballone, tax reform, devastating situations that could be for Long Island down the road. You and I have spoken before about trying to keep young people here and everything else. I don't know how you do it now, Steve. It's really a banding together right now of all of Long Island coming together in such a big way because, you know, young people are going to take a hit here. You know, how are they going to be able to buy a home? They're not going to want to. They're going to want to rent or go elsewhere. Right now, it's really kind of an embrace coming together with ideas and everything else to make sure people band together and get through this mess.
Yeah, the dream, excuse me, Dave. The dream, the American dream has always been that, you know, you can buy that home, raise your family in a great community with great schools, you know, that suburban life that we all love with our beautiful parks and beaches and, you know, fishing and all the things we love about Long Island. This is a dagger to the heart of that dream on Long Island. And, you know, I'm still stunned that that's happening. And, you know, in the coming days and weeks and months ahead, we're going to have to figure out how we deal with this and what we're going to need to do moving forward. Because you're right, it's going to become tougher to bring young people to the region. And, you know, we're working as hard as we can to become more competitive and to put our region in a position where we're attracting the best and the brightest. And, you know, it's hard to believe that our national government in this way would effectively amount an assault on all of those efforts.
No question. County Executive Steve Ballone, a couple of minutes with him this morning. Tough day for Long Island with his tax bill. It should be passed by noon. And before we move on to the gang stuff and those dollars, Steve, you know, one more point. You know, with all this coming into play and, you know, you look at a lot of people struggling and everything else, they're looking for rays of hope. You know, even folks within your office and everything, you know, who make the medium salaries and everything else, unions who are still without contracts, trying to make it happen. Hopefully this is an embrace for everybody to kind of come together to resolve issues and everything else so that people at least can have a ray of hope as far as their futures here on the island are concerned. You would agree, I hope?
This is going to hit everybody. It's going to hit cops and teachers and firefighters and nurses and construction workers. It's going to hit anybody who owns a home. Anybody who hopes to own a home, it's going to hit our economy overall. It's going to ultimately reduce revenues coming into local governments to support efforts to, you know, go after MS-13, to attack the opioid epidemic. So, I mean, the impacts of this are far and deep. You know, we're still encouraging people to sign our online petition, you know, urging the president not to sign legislation that does this to Long Island. You know, as I said, the hope of that happening is dimming, but we still encourage people to go to facebook.com/Steve Ballone, our Facebook page, where we have that online petition. We have almost 10,000 people in just a short period of time who signed on to that petition. And, you know, we're going to need to keep this fight going. There's no question about that, because the impacts of this are far too devastating to Long Island.
County Executive Steve Ballone with us. So let's go to the gang situation. Steve, $11.5 million, well needed. Expanding programs. You know, the fight goes on for these gangs, especially MS-13. And listen, the whole thing, and we saw it last year, congressional panels held here in Central Islip, the president here last July. We remember that. Listen, it's a very important situation on a national scale. And to have these dollars in place, you know, at least that's a ray of hope.
Yeah, and Police Commissioner Tim Sini, who's now going to be our district attorney shortly, and the Suffolk County Police Department have done an incredible job going after this gang. As we've discussed, you know, from the very beginning, Commissioner Sini and Police Department, the commitment has been, we're not only going to solve these murders, but we're going to eradicate this gang from our region. And, you know, that obviously takes traditional law enforcement and the Suffolk County Police Department in partnership with other law enforcement agencies, our federal law enforcement partners, New York State troopers, thanks to Governor Cuomo, providing that law enforcement support. We've had tremendous success solving the murders that have taken place here in Brentwood and Central Islip, but also arresting hundreds of MS-13 gang members. But there's a recognition, and Governor Cuomo really understands this, that, you know, to eradicate this gang from our region, it takes a comprehensive approach. We not only have to attack them from the traditional law enforcement perspective, but we've also got to undermine their ability to lure people and to force people into their gangs, their ability to recruit new members into the gang. And that means, you know, we need to have gang prevention programs that are operating in our schools that are undermining this criminal organization's efforts.
So in essence, a very important turn. A few minutes left for the county executive. You know, a couple of things, and again, I kind of put this in perspective with what occurred last night, Steve, regarding the situation of public campaign financing. I know it's certainly, there's a lot of controversy involved on it, public money really accentuating this starting in year 2021. I'm talking about the match kind of tailored over New York City's public financing law, in essence. Do you think there could be some trepidation as far as the thinking of the public regarding this with all that's happened with tax reform and everything else? I mean, there's a lot of play back and forth, a lot of negativity as far as the thinking is concerned. Is this something that you will think about before you sign this thing as far as, you know, everything that has occurred in the last 24 hours on a national scale? What's your thinking here?
Well, you know, what the campaign finance reform bill attaches is casino revenues coming into the county. So this is an investment in our government. And what we have seen, I think, on Long Island and across New York State is the impact that corruption has on taxpayers, and the impact of people being beholden to special interests has on taxpayers. The impact there is far, far greater than the, you know, small investment that would be made through casino revenues into our democracy and into creating a more competitive system where grassroots candidates can run for office who aren't beholden to special interests or to political parties. And, you know, I have to believe that that is going to produce a far better result in terms of reducing corruption and reducing the hold special interests have on our system. If you just look across the landscape today, the number of public officials we've seen arrested, in jail, state level, federal level, and the cost that is incurred by the public as a result of that, we have to do something about that. You know, there really is a corruption tax that people are paying, and it's probably the biggest tax of all. And this is one of those reforms that's going to help eliminate that.
Just the concern as far as public money on my end, as far as, you know, everything that's been going around here, and certainly, you know, listen, the public funds and capping all donations, I understand it. I think probably the big concern is really, you know, when you look at the overall shortfall of the budget, I think a lot of people say, okay, we're getting the profits from the casino, maybe we should maybe divvy it up, have it go elsewhere or so.
Yeah, well, let me give you an example. You know, although the campaign finance is not at this office yet, we've seen in the past now a example of the district attorney's office paying out bonuses to their top officials without authorization, millions of dollars of money being spent. And, you know, there are just examples that are seen like that, examples that never get seen, where the public is really paying the price because you have people who are beholden to special interests, and you know, that costs the public money. And, you know, if people have a better system that's going to help eliminate the corruption, public officials, you know, who we have seen, how many have we seen, Jay, across Long Island and across New York State getting arrested, who are supposed to be protecting taxpayer dollars, are doing the exact opposite. That costs far more than any investment of casino revenues that we would put into our democracy here, I believe. But if somebody has a better way to, you know, impact that kind of corruption, I'd love to hear it.
All right, you and I are going to have to talk on that one. But let's, before I let you guys, I want to talk regarding vector control, you know, the plan of work, and methaprine. I know a lot has been said. You and I have spoken many a time on trying to save the waterways here on the island, improve quality and everything else. It seems to me, you know, methaprine, which is banned in several states, you know, it's a no-brainer as far as the alternative in this BTI, as far as the chemical to combat the mosquitoes and the West Nile and the Zika and everything else. You know, it just seems to me it could be a kind of a no-brainer solution. Wipe out the methaprine already banned and put in the BTI. What was your thought process?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that obviously, you know, water quality and the impacts of, you know, different toxins that are being put out there. We're learning more and more about different impacts because we're having the ability to detect at lower levels, far more than we ever have before. So, you know, we're going to see things like this, I think, popping up more and more. And, you know, we're going to be working to use the best science possible to determine what's in the best interest of public health in the county.
All right, especially when Connecticut banned it. I believe it was back in 2013. The city actually restricts this chemical as far as use near Jamaica Bay, and of course BTI has been the preferred alternative. More on that next time. Steve Ballone, I know you got a lot on your plate. Certainly appreciate a couple of minutes this morning. If we don't speak, have a great Christmas and a very happy New Year, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Jay. Great to be with you.